Welcome to Anchor Point, where we believe that the next 30 minutes could change your life forever. So join us to consider the greatest message ever heard, the good news of the gospel, as well as sound scriptural teaching for believers, all based on the Word of God, the anchor for our souls. There is one word that describes true born-again Christians everywhere, and the word? Forgiven. What a wealth of blessing that one word contains. Peace with God, a debt paid, a stain removed, a burden lifted, and so much more. Do you know anything about the meaning of the word forgiven in your life? Some people don't see the importance of the word. Why do I need to be forgiven, they ask. I've made some mistakes, but I've learned to deal with them. I just pick up the pieces and get on with my life. Why do I need to humble myself to ask someone to forgive me? I've never apologized to anyone in my life. Well, that is a sad attitude in our relationships with other human beings. How much more when we have this attitude toward God who we offend on a daily basis? A God who we disregard and repeatedly disobey? Yes, the Bible says that we have all sinned, and settled peace will never be ours until we are right with God. In today's message, evangelist and Malawi missionary Stephen Harper takes up the term and applies it in the gospel message.
Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7 says, "In whom," that's the Lord Jesus, "in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." And I want to speak to you this evening about the subject of the forgiveness of sins. Ironically, although we live in an increasingly enlightened world where people deny that really there is anything to be forgiven, because I can do as I please, and although we live in a world which is increasingly egotistical, a world that says, "I don't need to be forgiven. And even if I do, I just forgive myself." And yet this world is falling apart because of guilt and shame. The well-known atheist and novelist, Margarita Laski, said just before she died in 1988, "What I envy most about you Christians is your forgiveness. I have nobody to forgive me." Isn't that a shame? I have nobody to forgive me. And what we really discovered is this, that the idea of self-forgiveness is not just elusive, it's actually, in reality, an illusion. You can't forgive yourself. But I'm here this evening with a wonderful good news story. Because the message of the gospel is this, that there is forgiveness of sins in the Lord Jesus Christ. And our verse that we read together this evening says, "In whom," or "in him," in the Lord Jesus, "we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." And I want to speak to you very simply this evening, and I don't make any apology for having a simple message. My wife said to me just before she left to fly home to the UK this evening, she said, "Just keep the message simple." That's good advice from a gospel preacher's wife. Just keep the message simple. Preach the way you do in Malawi, she said. So I'm going to preach as if I was in Malawi. Now, I'm not going to use Chichewa because that might just cause a little bit of confusion. But I'm going to keep it simple, as if I'm preaching to people that have never, ever, ever heard the message before. I want to speak to you this evening, first of all, about the wonderful peace of forgiveness. The peace that forgiveness brings. You see, even the youngest children know what it is to feel guilty. They know what it is to feel shame. You know, we can all recall those early days when we did something and mum or dad found out, and we just wanted to hide with a sense of guilt and shame. And we were so relieved when the matter was all sorted out and we were able just with a clear conscience to come before our parents again. We're so glad of the peace of forgiveness, even just as little children. Perhaps as teenagers, we remember occasions when the offence was something a little more serious. I can certainly remember a few of those. And I remember carrying the burden of guilt, and I remember labouring under the shame of it all. But I was so glad when at last the matter, whatever it was finally cleared away. And I was able, again, with a clear conscience, just to move in the presence of my parents or whoever else it was that I'd offended. The sad reality is that as life goes on, very often the burden of guilt becomes greater because the offences become more serious. And as we've already alluded this evening, there are sadly millions of people living in this world today carrying a burden of guilt and of shame, and they would just long to have that burden lifted. Sometimes guilt and shame is like a cancer that needs to be cured. And sometimes it's like a darkness that needs to be dispelled. Sometimes guilt and shame feels like a dungeon from which we need to be delivered. Sometimes we become ever so conscious of the fact that it's like an enmity that needs to be erased. And it's like a load that needs to be lifted. It's like a stain that needs to be scrubbed. My dear friend, I'm so glad to tell you that the gospel deals with all of those things. And the message of salvation, the blessed outcome of salvation is this. The Bible talks about peace with God, and it talks about the resultant peace of God. And we were singing this evening, you can't be happy until to you Christ is all, because in Christ is forgiveness of sins. Would you know your sins forgiven? Christ is all. Christ is all. Because in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And although I don't want to take a whole lot of time on that this evening, I want to tell you this. If you would love to know the rest of forgiveness within your soul, then you need to be ready to confront the reality of the guilt which is yours before God. The Bible tells us that there is no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And guilt is not just an emotion to be shrugged off. That's what the world would tell us today. Just shrug it off and carry on. But guilt is not so easily rid of. It's not just an emotion to be shrugged off, but it is a reality that needs to be faced. I'm here to tell you this evening, with all the love of God in my soul, it's possible for you to come into this meeting this evening under a load of sin, under a load of guilt and shame, but it's possible to go out in the full assurance of forgiveness. God is able to forgive. More than that, God is ready to forgive. It just struck me today as I was meditating and preparing for this meeting. Forgiveness is really a theme that just threads its way through the whole of the Bible. In fact, if you go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, perhaps the very first emotion that's recorded for us in the Bible is the dreadful emotion of guilt and shame. You remember how that Adam and Eve hid themselves in the garden? They tried to cover themselves because they understood that they were naked before God, and then they tried to hide themselves. But what does God do? He brings them out into the light, and he wants to deal with the guilt and the shame. And I'm telling you this evening, with the authority of the Bible, that God is still in the business of forgiveness, and he wants you to enjoy it this evening. He wants you to enter into the glorious liberty of forgiveness and the glorious light that the Lord Jesus Christ came to bring. I was thinking today not just about the wonderful peace of forgiveness, but I was thinking about a parable of forgiveness. This is a parable that you're very familiar with. Back in Luke's Gospel, you remember there was an occasion when there were two people, a woman who was a sinner woman, and there was a Pharisee, a man who was consumed with his own self-righteousness. A woman, it seems, who was consumed with her guilt, but a man who was consumed with self-righteousness. You remember that the Lord Jesus told the parable. He said, there was a certain creditor, and he had two debtors. One of the debtors owned a relatively large sum of money, 500 pence. And one of the debtors owed a relatively small sum of money, 50 pence. But they both had this in common. Neither could pay. And the wonderful story of the gospel is this, that just as there were two creditors and neither had the means to pay, the Lord Jesus said, the creditor, he freely forgave them both. And then the Lord Jesus said to the Pharisee, to Simon, he said, Simon, which one will love the most? And Simon rather grudgingly said, well, I suppose the one who's been forgiven most. And the Lord Jesus, he turns to Simon and referring to the woman, he says, and this woman, here's a woman and she has an appreciation of the fact that she has been forgiven a great debt. And because of that, she's showing great love. I just want to highlight a couple of things from that parable. The Lord Jesus spoke about a debt. And you and I said I'm not going to preach anything other than a simple message this evening. Please don't stumble over its simplicity. But the simple message of the gospel is this. You and I owe a debt. Some have a relatively large debt, and some have a relatively small debt. And you might consider yourself to be, in the terms of the parable that I've referred to, a 50 pence debtor rather than a 500 pence debtor. But you have this in common with the entirety of the human race. You don't have the means to pay. And I remember when I realized that I didn't have the means to pay. Just a little boy, a 50 pence debtor. But I didn't have the means to pay. But what a glorious thing it was when I realized that the Lord Jesus, upon the cross, he provided a means whereby God could freely forgive the 50 pence debtor and the 500 pence debtor. And that's exactly what he did upon the cross. The Lord Jesus said, the creditor, he freely forgave them both. You think about the debt, you think about the discharge of that debt. And I was just thinking today about Corrie ten Boom and what she said. She said, when I bring my sins to the Lord Jesus, he casts them into the depths of the sea, forgiven and forgotten. And then she added this, he also puts up a sign, no fishing allowed. Isn't that good? No fishing allowed. And there was a moment when I entered into the good of that, when I understood that my debt of sin, all of my sins, and it wasn't as big a debt, it wasn't as big a burden as some have accumulated after a lifetime of gross sins, but it was nevertheless a debt of sin that would take me down to hell. How glad I was when I discovered that debt has been entirely cleared. The precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ dealt with it upon the cross. And God has cast my sins into the depths of the sea. And he's put a sign up. He says, no fishing allowed. None of them will ever come back again. What about your sins? Have they been dealt with? Have you appreciated the wonder of forgiveness? Have you ever stopped for a moment to bow your knee in thanksgiving and say to God, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul? I was thinking today, you know, about the prodigal son. Here was a boy, and he had drifted far from home. And as he was in the far country, and as he was desiring to be fed with the swine food, he remembered a home where there was plenty. He knew there was a father who was ready to forgive. And he said, you know, I've sat here long enough. I sat here long enough longing after the food that the swine are eating. It's time that I got up and went to my father. Some of you have been sitting there for a long time and you're waiting for salvation perhaps to land on your plate. It's not going to happen that way. The prodigal knew that there was a father that was ready to forgive, but there came a moment when he had to say, I've got to do something about this. He said, I will arise and go. And he went to the father and he had his little speech prepared. He said, when I get to my father, I'll say to my father, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Just make me like one of the hired help. And so he made his way from the far country, and you know the story. As he was approaching, his father saw him a long way off. And he ran, and he fell on his neck, and he kissed him. And the son, he begins to give his little prepared speech. He says, Father, I have sinned. I've sinned against heaven, and I've sinned in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. And you know that he didn't get any further, because at that point the father says, bring the fatted calf, bring the ring, bring the shoes, bring the best garment. My son who was lost has been found again. He was dead and he's alive again. And you know how that they began to be merry. I was thinking today, why did the father allow the prodigal son to give part of his little prepared speech? You ever thought about that? Why did he allow him to give part of the prepared speech? Why did he allow him to say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Why did the father allow the son to say that? Did the father not know that the boy was sorry? Did the father not know that the boy knew that he was a sinner? Oh yes, he knew. That's why he ran to meet him. He knew what was in the boy's heart, but why? Was the father being unreasonable? Did he want to make the boy squirm? And did he want to bring the boy down? Did he want to humiliate him? Did he want him to say, I'm no longer worthy, because the father wanted to sort of turn the thumb screws in the boy? No, that doesn't fit the story. Because the moment the boy confessed, you know that the father says, bring the very best. It wasn't that the father needed to hear those words so much as this. The boy needed to say them. You see, there's never any peace in the heart without genuine confession. They say confession's good for the soul. And it's true. And without the boy actually saying those things, he would have lived forever wondering whether the father had really forgiven him indeed. It wasn't that the father needed to hear so much as the fact that the boy needed to say it. And the Lord Jesus, he came into the world as the light of men. And John's gospel tells us that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And they don't want to come into the light. You know, the dreadful thing is this. They don't want to come into the light because they don't trust God. And they're unsure how God's going to deal with them. And they're not sure that if they come into the light, will God really deal kindly and gently with me? Or is God going to humiliate me? No, God has no desire to humiliate you. But God knows that if you're going to be forgiven, and if you're going to enjoy peace, if you're going to enjoy the forgiveness of sins, you'll never, ever, ever know the forgiveness of sins until you're ready to say, in all honesty, I have sinned. I have sinned. You know, we spoke about the woman at the well, and how the Lord Jesus said to the woman at the well, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that said to you, give me to drink, you would have asked and he would have given living water. And I said that there are people not saved simply because they've never asked for a drink of living water. And you know, there are people in this room this evening and you're not forgiven simply because you're not ready to say, I have sinned. And you'll never be forgiven until you're ready to come clean with God. Not because God's reluctant to forgive, but that he knows that you'll only have peace in your soul when you are completely open and honest with him. You need to be honest with God. He knows that that's what will give you peace. And so our verse tells us this, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And you say, how do I know that if I came to God, how do I know that if I came to the Lord Jesus and was open and honest about my sin, how do I know that he would forgive? I want to speak to you very briefly about a plea for forgiveness. And some of you are saying, oh, he's going to mention the Pharisee and the publican. No, I'm not going to mention the Pharisee and the publican. I'm not going to speak to you about the publican who cried out for forgiveness. I'm going to talk to you about the Lord Jesus himself, who even as he hung upon the cross, watching the soldiers who had nailed him by the hands and the feet to that old rugged cross, who had treated him so shamefully, who had plaited a crown of thorns and put it upon his head, who had spat in his very face, The soldiers there who had lashed his back, who had treated him so cruelly and so shamefully. Would you listen to the words of the Lord Jesus as over and over and over again he pleads with the Father, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. The Lord Jesus hanging there in shame upon the cross. And he's not thinking about self-preservation. And he's not thinking about vengeance. And he's not thinking about humiliating those that are around about him. He could have done all of those things, but no, upon his heart is a burden for these men who in their ignorance have just crucified the Lord of life and glory. And to his Father he cries, Father, forgive them. Over and over and over again he was crying, Father, forgive them. And how could you doubt the genuineness of the forgiveness that he offers? How could you harbour in your heart and in your mind even a moment's hesitation? If I were to come to Christ, would he forgive me? Upon the cross, he pled with his Father that even those wicked men that crucified him, even they would be forgiven. And that tells us about the great price of forgiveness, paid in full, in whom we have redemption. That's the idea. The price has been paid in full. The account has been settled. A settled account, paid in full. The altar has been stained, in whom we have redemption through his blood. The account is settled. The altar stained. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, an abundant supply. Could your sins be forgiven? Yes, they could. And what about that poor publican who wouldn't lift so much as his eyes to heaven, but just bowing his head and smiting upon his breast, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And that man went to his home happy and justified, happy and free, rejoicing in sins forgiven. And you could go home to your house this evening, happy and justified, rejoicing in sins forgiven. Wouldn't you just cry out to the Saviour, be merciful to me, the sinner, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace.
Can your sins be forgiven? Yes, they surely can. That's what the gospel message is all about. It doesn't take a long process, a seminar course in theology, some sacred ordinance, or the requirement to turn over a new leaf. It's instantaneous the moment you, a sinner, acknowledge God, admit your sin, and receive the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on your behalf on Calvary. Christ shed his precious blood for sinners. Accept him today and rejoice in the knowledge of sins forgiven, starting even this very day. If this or any of our Bible messages here at Anchor Point has made you aware of God's interest in you, or if you'd like some literature or a visit that would help you to understand these important truths, why don't you drop us a line at email@anchorpointradio.com? We'd love to hear from you. We're glad that you were able to join us at Anchor Point today. Anchor Point is sponsored by believers in Christ who are meeting at various gospel halls. Each of these Christian assemblies holds gospel services every Sunday, as well as other meetings such as regular prayer and Bible studies throughout the week. No collection is ever taken, and a very warm welcome awaits you. If you've been challenged by today's message and would like to know more about the truth of the gospel or of gathering under the name of our Lord Jesus Christ following New Testament principles, take a look at our website at anchorpointradio.com. There you will find more information as well as the location, programs, and meeting schedules for the gathering center nearest you. My name is John Sharp, and thank you once again for listening, and we invite you to join us again next week at the same time for Anchor Point, where we believe that Christ alone is the anchor for the soul.